Please turn with your Bibles and your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke. We're going to spend some time with some red letter stuff this morning. Words of Jesus. I remember, it was a bunch of years ago, that there was a time I was praying, asking God what I should preach. And I started thinking, if I had a special guest on Sunday, Jesus, and I could get Jesus to preach on Sunday, what would he preach? And that's kind of what I was thinking one time. And it's like, I was like, well, I know what he would preach, because we have his sermons and his teachings in the Gospels. And so this is Jesus stuff, and we're going to look at it and try to understand it. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to hit three things, and we're going to kind of do it out of order. But I want to begin over in verse 43. And let me lead you. Let's pray just a moment before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is that we have the words of your Son, Jesus. We can learn from them, and there's something about them, Lord, that they're so packed that it seems like we think about them, but then we let a little time go by and we come to understand them more. And we go through different chapters of our lives, and it seems like different places, when we're at different places in life, things that maybe we knew before, we come to appreciate it in a greater way. So Lord, I just pray now that as we look at the words of Christ here in the Gospel of Luke, that you would bless us, help us to understand, and then, Lord, touch our hearts. Maybe there's some lessons to learn in these scriptures that are familiar. Maybe there's some thoughts that we haven't really thought of before. I pray, Lord, you'd guide us now as we look at your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin in verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. So people do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. So as a tree is recognized by its fruit, the quality and the state of a person's life will be reflected by what comes out of that person's life. If you have a person that truly has a heart that is filled with love, if you have a person who their desire is to follow the Lord and to serve Him, that's going to show. You're going to watch how they treat people. You're going to listen to conversations, not just when they're around folks, but in all different settings, and it's going to come out what's in their heart. And I couldn't help but thinking about this as when I was thinking about Andy proposing to Robin. I mean, Lord knows, you have an accident, you got all the meds in you, you're probably not going to be so great at keeping secrets or keeping things to yourself or saying, I mean, you're just probably going to be blurting out what you're thinking. And Andy, at that time, was blurting out what he was thinking. You know, the window of his heart was wide open and out was flowing what he really felt. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. And I'm sure that when Robin heard those words, it made her feel good because she knows that's what's going on inside him. Now, that's a good example of finding out what's going on in someone's heart. Sometimes we have a different experience. Sometimes we have an experience where it seems like you pull the curtain back and you get to see what's on the other side and you find out that things aren't what you thought they were. Have you ever discovered something that you wished that you had not discovered? I know that I was looking at something online. Maybe you guys, some of you guys have seen it before, but they had, what was it? It was something I saw on the internet on one of those social media sites where they would have a couple, and they would exchange cell phones so that they could look at each other's chat history and look at all the other stuff and look at the pictures, you know. And it's like, I just saw one little episode of it, and there was a lot of surprises there because the things that they had on their phones was kind of a representation of what they were talking about, what they were thinking about, and where their priorities were. And often what we do is we clean ourselves up and we have a nice way of presenting ourselves. We tend to present ourselves to others the way we think they want to see us. But with these couples, when they exchanged their phones and they looked at things, you could kind of see the unvarnished truth. And when we think about ourselves, when we think about the type of fruit that our life produces, it really forces us to look at our own hearts and just ask, you know, what kind of fruit am I producing? And is what I'm seeing coming out of my life what I want to be coming out of this life of mine? And if you don't think that the fruit that is coming out of your life is what you'd want to see coming out of your life, you have to ask yourself, what needs to happen? Now, here's the good news, that the best fruit that will come out of your life is, it's possible for you to produce the best fruit, but it will require a change from the inside, but that change is something that is not beyond you. Well, it is beyond you in that you can't do it for yourself. But it is a change that God can cause to happen within you. Because when you open up your heart to Him and allow Him to come on the inside, He makes everything new. And when you turn matters over to Him, His Holy Spirit works, and you see things happen that couldn't have happened if you were just trying to control it yourself. And He makes beautiful things out of our lives. And I don't know about you, but I want to bear the beautiful fruit that the Lord could produce in my life. That's what I want to do. And you know, for all of us, we only have limited time to live. It's not like we can get to go back and do it over again. You know, for every single one of us, I hate to talk in such sobering terms, but it's only a matter of time before they're having a memorial service for us and our name is an obituary somewhere. I mean, life is short. And we only get one opportunity to go through it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my whole life and then wished that I had really put it out there and lived my best for the Lord. I don't want to do that. I want to love my wife as absolutely much as I can possibly love her. I want to be the best husband. I want to finish my life knowing that I'd done my best to serve her. I want to, as best as I can, be a loving, godly father to my children. I want to, as best as I can, do the best I can as a pastor here at this church. And I want to, as best as I can, walk with God, trust Him. I mean, I don't want to half-heart my Christianity. I don't want to half-heart my being a husband. I don't want to hold back on any of those things. I want to do them all out there, knowing that there's going to come a time where it's going to be time's up. And when that time comes, I just want to have known that I'd put it all out there. I'd lived for the Lord. I'd loved those that the Lord brought into my life. I'd served these responsibilities where the Lord had put me to the best of my abilities with Him. And I trust as we put it out and we walk with Him and we address these various facets of our lives, that He is going to cause good fruit to come out of those things. He is. Because He is the author of goodness and peace. Verse 45, the good man brings the good out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things from the evil stored up in his heart. Here's a passage of scripture that really we ought to think about a lot, because the truth is that we do store things up in our hearts. We do store things up in our hearts. If you would stop me when I'm walking to school one day and you'd ask me what I'm thinking about, I'd probably have to tell you that, I was thinking about the Lord and I was praying about this and this. I might not tell you what's really on my mind, but that would be what would be on my mind. And it's probably going to come out in the way I treat people. It's probably going to come out in how I make decisions on things, because that's what I've been storing up in my heart. Now, a friend of mine had a day off recently, and they thought it was kind of funny. They put that they had binged watched that whole day. They had stayed in that day and they had binged watched this certain TV show. And they had watched TV for like 8 hours. They're talking about the number of episodes they'd watched. And I was considering the show they were watching. And I was like thinking, because what are they doing? That's what they're storing up in their heart. Now, if at the end of the day you went and you had a talk with them, that if there's a certain type of humor that's in that show, that's going to come out in talking to them. Like my wonderful son-in-law, Chris, there's times in life where he has loved watching old SpongeBob SquarePants. I've watched a little bit of it myself, too. And there's sometimes that something crazy will come up and he says, you remember that episode where Squidward and I just look, and I'm like, yes, I remember that. And we both laugh and then back into other things. All right. Now, see, that's something that he has in his heart. Now, I can think of some things. I can think of some things that are very popular in the media right now that I don't think that are things that we should be storing up within us. Like one thing that is really wreaking havoc on our culture right now is pornography use. And you think about that. If somebody goes and indulges themselves in a couple of hours of pornography, and then you were to have some sort of conversation with them, or maybe they were like Andy. They ended up getting in a fender bender and they were all on pain meds, and then out of their mouth was just coming what's in their heart. You'd be like, you wouldn't want to hear that. You wouldn't want to know what's going on in their heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings the good out of the good that is stored up in his heart. The evil man brings the evil that is stored up in their hearts. We need to be discerning. We need to do a lot of thinking about what we're storing up in our hearts. There's some stuff that it might be interesting, but it's not the best for us. There's some things that might be funny, but it's not the best for us. There's some things that might be popular, but it's not the best for us. Because we got to think, the truth is that if we're bringing it into our hearts and lives, that it's going to come out in how we talk. It's going to come out in our values. It's going to come out in how we treat people. And if the things within our hearts, if they're almost like putting a fish in the refrigerator, you know, you put a fish in the refrigerator, there's a good chance that if it's not frozen and it's in plastic, everything in your refrigerator is going to smell like the fish. Then we need to do a lot of thinking about what we put in our refrigerators. And I don't want to just think the negative on this. Let's look at the positive. It says the good man brings the good that he's stored up within him. And I want to tell you, we are blessed because there's so many things that we can avail ourselves of. All right, let's shift gears. Over to verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. Oh, I challenge you. Why don't you write that on a 3x5 card and stick it on the dash of your car? And the next time the light turns green and the person in front of you is busy texting and not going forward, I would like you to think about this scripture. The next time you put your blinker on and you make a turn into a lane and somebody doesn't like the fact that you've turned into the lane and they blare their horn and you look in your rearview mirror only to see their middle finger stuck up proudly. I'd like you to remember this scripture. Love your enemies. Sometimes people do things that like push our buttons. And it's very difficult to think about doing good to them. But Jesus is calling on us to love our fellow man, all of them, not just the ones that are nice to us, but those that are difficult. We need to love our fellow man, not the ones who like us back, but the ones who don't like us. And that's not easy, because we tend to like people that like us, and we tend to not like people who don't like us. That's the natural way. But Jesus is calling on us not to be like that, but to have a love that extends to all humanity. Verse 32 says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that? Even sinners love those that love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great. And you'll be called sons and daughters of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now, when you make your mind up that you're going to be lovingly disposed to people, it changes what folder you put people in. And you're going to find that if you are lovingly disposed to people, you're not going to quickly and easily be able to put them in the enemy file. Because if you really want to see them make it in life, if you want to see the best come out of situations for them, then they're not going to be an enemy to you anymore. They're going to be somebody that you care about. You see, when we classify somebody as an enemy, we generally don't want good to come to them. We want them to suffer consequences. We want them to know pain. But when you love somebody, you want to see good to come into their lives. And if we want to be like the Lord, He's calling upon us to not look at people as enemies. Look at other people as people that you would like to see good come into their lives. He says, then, if you can do that, he goes, then your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. He says, then your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. So God doesn't want us throwing people into the enemy file. Because, you know, as soon as somebody's thrown into our enemy file, we don't even really think about them that much, other than thinking about not wanting good things to happen to them. He doesn't even want us to have an enemy file. I guess maybe just leave Adolf Hitler in there, maybe. But certainly not the person who cut in and took the parking space at Publix. Or that person who stuck their middle finger up at you and you didn't drive past them right. God doesn't want us being like that. Or that server that treated you bad at a restaurant, or that boss who was unfair with you at work. And you know, usually when people don't treat you right, most of the time, if you would know what was going on in their life just before the situation would happen, you're going to find out that there was probably something going on. There was more to the story. But we don't know the rest of it, so we just tend to think we know the rest of it, and we just make our mind up that we hate them. And the Lord doesn't want us to be like that. So if there's anybody in your folder of people that you hate, God would like you to open the folder, take them out of that folder, and leave that folder empty. And He would like you to change the way you look at them. He would like you to start looking at them as people that are not really all that different from you. And He wants you to have a heart which wants to see the best happen for them. And who knows, maybe some of these people could turn out to be a friend. So let's kind of wrap up the message here. In the first part, we're really challenged to think about what we're pouring into our hearts, because it's going to come out of us. And think about Andy in the hospital. Robin, I love you and I want to marry you. That's what was going on in his heart. Wouldn't it be great if we get caught unaware and the first thing that comes out of our mouths is how thankful we are for something and how good some person is. You know, if somebody catches you daydreaming, you know, and they're like, what are you thinking about? You're thinking, I'm lucky I have this job and I really like these people that I'm working with. Or I really like my house. Or I'm lucky to have the wife that I have. You're going to like being around those people, aren't you? You know, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I have the worst boss in the world and I work in hell. Here comes my boss, Beelzebub. You pick up on a little bit of that and you're like, oh boy, get me away. You don't want to be like that. So what are we putting in our hearts? And the last thing is love for enemies. Let's just make it our, we know we got to do this. The hate file has got to get emptied out. That's God's will. That's what He wants for us. Hate file needs to be emptied. Now, don't just rename it. like, oh, hate is such an uncomfortable word. What if just, I really, 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 really don't like them. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I don't want to be around them, and I can't stand them, and I don't want to talk to them. That sounds like you hate them. Oh, no, I'm a Christian. I don't hate people. You just call it by a different name. It's the same thing. The Lord's, whatever you're going to call it, if you're having that, those sentiments to somebody, whatever you call the folder, take the people out of it. Oh, well, let me pray for you. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. And Lord, some of the things he calls on us to do, like loving our enemy, boy, that's a stretch. That does not come natural at all. But, hey, with your help, we could do this. So thank you, Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you right now as well for the people that have been good to us down throughout the years. I know, Lord, for every one of us, there's been times in our life when we haven't been at our best. Maybe we've been kind of awful, and somebody has extended grace to us. Help us to remember that, and let that be an example for us as we look at our fellow man. And I pray, Lord, that we would be people that extend grace to others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day and for your many blessings. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.